Hello and welcome to Commander Central episode 29. Today we're going to be talking about Masters 25 and Master Sets in general and how those reprints affect the game we play. Hopefully this show is a lot more Imperial Recruiter and a lot less Tree of Redemption, but we will see. Because, man, that Tree of Redemption, that's not going to feel good to open that card up. First, though, we'll check in with social media and discuss some games we played, as well as maybe just discuss some stuff in life. I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.
So happy Friday afternoon, everyone.
This is getting to be a habit of us recording on Fridays.
Two in a row we've done on Friday afternoons.
Yeah.
Well, so this one was actually like planned out.
This was intentional. We wanted to have the full spoilers done for Magic 25, so we waited till Friday, and now we have the whole weekend ahead of us, and our weeks are done. Kind of feels nice.
Yep.
Anything special happening for anybody this weekend? You guys have a tournament tomorrow.
We have a modern tournament.
Modern.
At our local store, D20 in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Max and Chris are both playing modern. What are you playing, Chris?
Nyaburn.
Nyaburn. Okay. I thought you said you were going to be playing, I thought you were playing Jund for some reason.
Oh, I could play Jund. Or I could play Skred. I mean, Burn just is more natural for me to play.
And Max, what are you playing?
Elves.
Is this your Elves deck or did you borrow pieces?
I borrowed it from a bunch of different people, pieces, mainly from Chris. And all like the creatures from our friend Adam.
Okay.
The expensive cards are from me.
Pretty much.
So how big is a modern tournament usually? Like how much turnout is there usually for those events?
We usually average about 30 players. Sometimes it's more, depending on weather, if people are free type of deal.
Sure. Well, it should be a nice day. I'm hoping it's a nice turnout for you guys. Yeah. I'll stop in and watch a little bit, see what's going on.
Although with the nice weather, I'm kind of worried because the one standard tournament I went to, there's like a blizzard outside. I'm like, oh, there's only going to be like 10 people here. 44 people showed up, and I was like, what?
What else are you going to do during a blizzard in Wisconsin?
Go play Magic.
Exactly. I have a little brief story. This morning, I went to the doctor just for like a check-in normally, and I was there early too. It was like a 7:30 labs and like an 8 o'clock appointment. So I gave my blood, then I was sitting in the waiting room, and it's a large waiting room, and there's nobody in there. And this old lady comes in and plops down like next to me, not like in the seat next to me, but like with one seat gap, despite there being 75 open seats in the waiting room. And I normally wouldn't have cared or, like, I wouldn't have made a difference, like, whatever. Except for she smelled so bad, like, cigarette smoke that it was unbearable. But what do you do at that point? So what I did was I pulled out my phone after a few minutes of thinking about it and faked I got a phone call. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? Just a second. Let me go somewhere with some privacy. And, like, walked out into the hallway for a minute and, like, waited a few seconds and then came back in and sat in a different seat to, like, not be a jerk about it. But, oh, that was just too much to bear.
That early in the morning, yeah.
And then I went and see the doctor and got in my stuff was fine. But, like, one thing I wanted to mention to him was a discussion I had with my wife a few weeks back. I knew I was going to the doctor. And I'd been thinking about this for a while, so I kind of casually mentioned to her, I'm like, I might talk to my doctor about the possibility of me having ADD or ADHD. And she starts laughing, and I'm like, what is that? Because I was like, I'm like just kind of pondering, and I'm like, you know, because I think I might. And she'd like literally burst into laughter. I'm like, what is? And she's like, you absolutely have ADD. She's like, I thought you were making a joke. She's like, no, you don't need to like wonder if maybe you do. Talk to him about it, because you 100% have ADD. I'm like, oh, okay, well. So I brought it up to him, so I'm going to get checked for that as well. So yeah, maybe that will help me focus a little bit better versus...
I've never really seen you have a lack of focus.
Because you're around me when I'm interested in things, like Magic.
Okay.
So that's perfectly fine. It's when I'm not interested in something that, like, the nearest shiny object distracts me.
So I might have ADHD then.
So anyway, I'll see what the doctor says, but I'm going to get that checked. So that was my exciting morning of medical adventures. So how about games we played this week? Because everybody played this week for the first time in a while.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, geez. Long night.
I got thumped by Dromoka at least once.
Yep.
I got thumped by Dromoka too.
In that same game, I thumped everybody in that game.
Yeah, that was a beating.
That was a hard game because I had a very minimal amount of removal, and Dana took off, and like he had a huge board state and was scaring me, so I targeted removal at him. And then all of a sudden, Max took off right after I did that, and I'm like, okay, this sucks real bad.
I can't rein everybody in.
Was that the game with the Necropotence?
I know what you're talking about.
So we'll tell that story. That's a good picture, a good story. We won't mention the name, even though he outed himself on Twitter by like admitting it was him.
Oh, I'll totally say who it is. I don't care.
And so in case you don't follow us on Twitter or see it, we were playing a game, and Max had played an Angel of Jubilation, I believe.
Correct.
Which states you can't pay life
or sacrifice creatures
to activate spells or abilities.
Correct.
Which, now that I think about it, that would affect fetch lands. I don't know if it ever came up in that game, but that should affect fetch lands, right?
Yep.
So I'll have to remember that for next time it's out. So Max had the Angel of Jubilation out, and he announced he's going to play it, and then someone asked what it did.
He read it.
Yeah,
he's
he
like,
did.
Let me read it.
The player himself looked at it and read it. That's a semi-obscure card. It doesn't get played a lot.
No.
And it comes back around to the player. He demonic tutors through his deck. Pulls out a Necropotence.
And plays it.
Plays it. And then we're like, well, you can't draw cards now because you can't pay life with Necropotence. And he did like just deflated, like, But I'd never seen that interaction before. So then he sat there for like 6 turns, unable to draw or really do much of anything.
I was getting a kick out of it because I had the removal spell in my hand to kill it. I'm like, well, that just shut him down. I don't have to worry about him anymore.
I had something too, and I'm like, I'm not going to deal with it now. I don't know what that angel said there.
Same
but here's
here.
The thing. 2 turns later, I think it was 2 turns later, I drew my Necropotence in that deck, and then I had to stop and think. I'm like, I might have done the same thing. It's easy to make fun of him, but like, having never seen that particular interaction before, I might have just blindly played it and not thought it through. So I will defend him by saying when I drew mine later on, I had to wonder, like, would I have even caught the interaction? Now I would, having seen it screw him over.
Oh, I'm going to shoot more shots at him with this, too. So he removes it.
He does. He killed it later on with...
I don't even remember.
An edict of some sort he played.
He played Liliana...
Oh, that's right.
The Dark Realms?
Yep.
And minused it for the number of swamps or whatever to kill it. And then just passed the turn.
Instead of drawing cards with his necro. Yeah. Yeah, that was a rough sequence for him in the span of about 3 turns there.
Oh, well.
Love you, man.
Yep.
These things, that's how we learn.
Yes, you got to touch the fire.
Touch the fire, absolutely. And then we played a late game after Max left. It was Chris and I and 2 other people. And this was like maybe 11:15 when we started. So
it got late.
Because we didn't finish so well after 12. And everyone was terrible. And I was awful. And I should have won the game, but at the very end, it was down to Chris, myself, and one other player playing Atraxa.
I set him up to kill you, too.
You did. And
or at
and
least
I,
give him a shot.
Well, and I screwed up because I swung at Chris to kill Chris, but I shouldn't have because the Atraxa player had just played, what was it, Iona.
Mm-hmm.
Set to black. But I could have killed Iona by equipping Nemesis Mask, which is like a lure effect onto a Death Touch creature, swinging in, killing Iona. And then I could have dealt with you the next turn and dealt with him, but I didn't. So
I
went at Chris first.
I was at 1 life, so I wasn't going anywhere.
So I went at Chris first to kill him. Then I didn't have but then once it got to his turn, he was going to attack with Iona, so then the lure effect wouldn't have mattered. So then I had a Triangle of War in hand, which is colorless, so I could cast it and do a fight effect, which I did. And I had a Nilil Spellbomb in play, but I forgot because it was late and we were tired. And then he brought the Iona back immediately with that green-black flip enchantment that turns into a land that lets you bring creatures
back.
The one that was in Rivals.
Didn't you have a Strip Mine in play as well?
And I had a Strip Mine in play. I mean, I could have won like 7 different ways, and I was just dumb. So
I test my co-hosts. That's what I do.
I failed every possible test that game.
I know my limits. That's why I leave when I leave, because
I
that should've. Doesn't happen.
I could, 5 minutes into that game, I'm like, my eyes are getting scratchy. I'm like, I shouldn't have stayed and played this game, but I did, like a dummy.
Didn't you go to work after that, too?
Then I had to go into work.
Oh, no.
I did, because I was going to have to be up late to do some firewall changes anyway, but I went into work, and it was 20 minutes of work, and it took me about an hour, because I kept having to stop and like walk around to like keep myself awake. So it turned into much longer than it should have.
You need one of those Veridesks that like raises up and you can sit there and do jumping jacks next to
your desk. I should. That would be useful. So that was our exciting Tuesday EDH night. Anything on social media this week?
Yeah, we heard from a 654 Billy Goat on the old YouTube. So basically, he sent us a long paragraph, 2 paragraphs, 3 paragraphs. It was a very long thing. So I'm just going to summarize basically what he said. He theorizes that planeswalkers as commanders are no worse than creatures as commanders. Your guys' take on that?
You know, after reading his comment, I kind of see his point. He mentions that there are a bunch of quick one or two card combos with your creature commander and another card to win the game. And he mentions that he can't figure out a planeswalker that really does that right out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we did the show, it's been a while, so I can't remember what we said. I think we thought it might be too much. But that's a good point. I mean, if you think about it, talking about creatures that have combos built into the command zone, I was thinking of Micaeus. If you're playing a mono-black Micaeus deck, you have that in the command zone. You have Triskelion or Walking Ballista in your deck, and you have a gazillion possible ways to tutor up stuff because you're playing in black. So that's kind of the bar then. So if Micaeus and Walking Ballista are acceptable, is there any Planeswalker combination with Doublethink Season that's worse than that or wins the game?
Closest,
I don't think so. The
closest one that I could come up to was Tamio Field Researcher with Doublethink Season because she ults immediately, but we looked it up and all it is an Omniscience. So.
Right.
So you're just going to play your hand out and be vulnerable the rest of the game.
And probably maybe you'll win off that, but like you'll definitely win off Micaeus and a Triskelion. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's probably, I think part of the problem was it's a lot of hassle for them to test. They have to go back and then like examine each one closely maybe and to determine if it's okay, and it's just maybe not worth the hassle is my guess.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But realistically, yes, probably in most play groups, it's probably not a problem.
I'd have no problem with it.
Same but maybe here. It is. But if you disagree, if there's something we're missing, because we've only been thinking about this for like 20 minutes, so if there's something that you noticed or something that we're missing here, feel free to let us know.
Of course.
And you can reach us on social media.
You can find us on Twitter at CMDR Central. Search us up on Facebook, CMDR Central. Find us online at cmdrcentral.com or search us up on YouTube, CMDR Central.
Yep, and we are also on Patreon by searching CMDR Central. And we want to give a shout out to our newest Patreon, Cybern Vizier. I apologize if I butchered your name. We are very good at that here.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. And I do want to note we had our most downloads ever last week, I think, for a single show by a large margin.
That's awesome.
So thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. Mention us to your friends and keep on listening. So I don't think we have any news this week because it was basically spoiler week.
Yep.
So I think we'll just move into the main show, which is kind of a combination of talking about Magic 25 and talking about master sets and reprint sets in general. So first things first, just kind of on a high level, now that 25 is entirely spoiled, what are your thoughts in general on this one, maybe in comparison to the other master sets we've had in the last few years?
Oh, geez, if we go back to, like, original Modern Masters.
The first Modern Masters is undoubtedly probably the best one, I think.
I mean, even 2015 was good.
Yeah. Or 17 was very good.
I think as they've been doing this, they've been getting worse and worse and worse.
I 100% agree with that. This is probably the first one where I flat out know I don't want to buy a box or even risk buying a box. You know, Iconic, I debated till the very last minute. And even with Eternal Masters, I think I bought one box, but I didn't buy. Well, and we bought some Magic Modern Masters 2017.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a letdown.
Despite saying multiple times, don't buy box.
I bought a box, opened my box, absolutely sucked. Went right up to the counter and bought another box, and I hit hard in the second
you
box.
Did, you did.
Like, so, okay, that made up for it.
I tend to agree this is probably the weakest one, at least so far. Maybe that will change in hindsight. Because I was disappointed in Iconic, but in hindsight, it's gotten a little bit better. A lot of those cards have bounced back, and it looks better now, so this might do that as well.
Oh, I hated Iconic. I opened a box and missed so hard.
Yeah. It's dropped enough. You were able to get $120 boxes there for a while. Maybe you still can. So that helped a lot there.
Yep.
If I was paying 180 or 200, that's a different story.
Yep.
The two cards I thought were locks. I thought for sure guaranteed we were going to see Demonic Tutor and Land Tax, and neither of them showed up.
Nope.
So that was a little bit disappointing and surprising maybe. And man, the mythics in this set are pretty rough.
Where do we factor, Max? 50% of them were misses?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's half of them are Comet Storms. Both the Chromas you don't want to be cracking.
Armageddon
you don't want to crack.
Why is Armageddon a mythic?
They use the draft argument because really you don't want, at rare, that's a colossal pain in draft. so you just don't print it. I was like, I don't think you put it in mint. Yeah. I don't think you don't put it in the mint. You just don't print
it. They should just put it uncommon. Well, I mean, that's the card. That's what, in my opinion, what it's worth is an uncommon.
It's had 18 printings. It doesn't need another one. Like, really, like, I looked it up. There's 18 Armageddon printings.
Jeez.
I love the art on it.
Yes, it is, yes, I agree. But it just didn't need to get printed there.
No. I mean,
it's an iconic card, but so is Land Tax.
Right. I mean,
could have put that in that slot and made people happy. Doomsday. The new Doomsday art looks great, but again, that's had multiple printings. It doesn't need a printing. It's cheap. Tree of Perdition.
Oh.
That's awful. That's probably the worst of the bunch.
Tree of Redemption.
Sorry, Tree of Redemption. But that's the worst of the bunch. I mean, I don't need, there's not, there aren't Doran players that want to, that want that reprint, let alone anyone else.
And I mean, Master of the Wild Hunt is where I would call a miss as well.
Yeah, even at least it's a $10 card, but it's probably only a $10 card because it was in what, Magic
12?
10? I think it was even earlier than that. 10. I think it was 10.
Can't read the watermark.
So it's old and hasn't been printed in forever. But yeah, though, that becomes a $2 or $3 card, I would imagine. Because there's no demand for it at all, and any more copies just sit in binders. So yeah, that's a miss. Prosh, I mean, the foils, I guess, will probably be in high demand, but a regular Prosh is not.
No.
That could be why they printed them. Same with Animar, is due to the fact of no foilings on them.
Yeah, and I guess. And at least Animar is a $30 card.
Right, and you really can't get them unless you find a sealed commander set or you trade for one from a friend or online. Yep.
The odds of finding an Animar out there in the wild are pretty slim right now. But even like you said, Master of the Hunt, Gisela isn't great. I mean, it's a good card and it was like $8 or $9, but it still feels, if that was like one of the bottom three cards, you'd feel fine about the set.
Yep.
But it's not. It's not in the bottom half. That's not great.
Yeah, with half your mythics being misses, it's kind of... That's why it makes me wish that mythics were one a box, because then I would be perfectly fine with missing, because in my opinion, a lot of the rares are worth it in this set.
There's a lot of good rares, sure. But you have a very good chance of cracking a box, and you're going to get Armageddon, Achroma, and Doomsday, and that's going to feel terrible.
Throw them all across the room.
Yeah.
Burn them.
I mean, even like cracking one of those is going to feel bad, let alone there's a ton of boxes that will have all three. They'll have three bad mythics. Now, there's good stuff. Jace is great.
Chalice.
People always want more chalices. People always want more clicks.
Incinerating Bridge is great.
Yep. Phyrexian Obliterator is probably going to tank, though. It's a $30 card right now, but that's not going to maintain the price. That's a $30 card because it's old, but it doesn't get played. It's entirely a kitchen table card. Maybe some mono black EDH decks that want the Devotion.
I could see that just for Devotion. But
it's a cool
card, yeah.
But like it's not part of any archetype or any theme or anything.
Nope.
Imperial Recruiter. I mean, that's great.
Boom! Money in the bank. I need one so bad.
Yeah, but the rares, like I said, there's some great rares in there. I mean, Bolas even is a good rare. Blood Moon is always good. Port is kind of the all-star on the rare slot. Richmond, yes. Port.
Coalition Relic needed the reprint.
And it's got gorgeous artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, much better than the, like, what, like a freaking Time Watch or something like that?
Yeah,
what
the
original
one,
was?
Yeah. That's going to look awesome in foil. So kind of segue into that. What cards do you guys care about personally coming out of this set that matter to you, that you want for decks? Chris just said Imperial Recruiter for Alesha.
Mm-hmm. Because I was not going to fork out the 300 some bucks is what it was at.
And that's going to be, my first thought about that was going to tank in price. But the more I think about it, I think that there's probably a lot of players that just don't even know it exists. Like they don't know that's a card until this week. Because it was Portal and there was a Judge printing.
Portal 3 even.
Yeah. I mean, you just weren't seeing those in shops unless you're playing with really diehard players. No one in our play group has one.
Nope.
So I think you're going to see maybe a lot of Alesha decks that want it. Maybe Kiki-Jiki, maybe, I don't know, Animar. There's a lot of red. It's a versatile card. You could run it in any red deck and probably not be wrong. So how about you, Max? What are you looking at? I'll start with you.
I'm a huge fan of the Filter Lands.
Filter Lands are nice.
I like running those in my two-color decks, so...
Two-color for sure.
Easy chance to get them, and they'll drop in price, I think, pretty hard.
If those... I don't have necessarily... I have, like, one or two that I want for decks, but I will probably also... If those drop sub-10, and I would think they've got a... Because they're 20 right now for most of them.
Yep.
Except for...
The black-white one.
Which is Fetid Heath, I think.
Yep, at 35.
The rest are all almost at 20, and they don't see play anywhere really besides EDH.
Yeah, I don't really see him anywhere else.
And then, and that's Lorwyn block, so that's a pretty, that's a long time ago. So those, I would bet, fall to 10, I could see. And at that point, I will probably just pick up one or two just to have for, like, future deck building endeavors.
Yep.
Throw them in a, my EDH staples binder. And because I have not been picking those up when I build mana bases for decks. Because the cost versus how good they are never quite felt worth it for a lot of decks.
When you can get a Shockland for
the same price.
Right.
Same or less. Price,
cheaper
if not less.
In a lot of cases.
And it's fetchable.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll pick up a few of those. That's a good one. What else?
Any of the Commander-only cards that are finally getting foils. So
absolutely.
Ash Barons, Myriad Landscape being the biggest one for me. And Reform. I think I'll grab a couple of foil Reforms just to
have. I don't even need Reform, but it's a, such a cool card. And I will grab one in foil at some point for sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris? What's on your list?
Rashad and Port, by far.
Are you going to play it in Commander?
Probably.
Or do you just want it? Okay.
Want the card.
Because you do play a little bit of yep. Vintage.
Yeah, Legacy. I play pretty much everything.
Legacy, yeah.
Just the price value that it was at, and it getting a reprint, I don't foresee it dropping too hard. So I think if I can get it now while it's cheap, it's probably the time.
That makes sense.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
For me, I agree with the foils thing that Max said for sure. I want some of those Commander-only ones, Landscape and Ash Barons in particular. This will be the first foil, I believe, of Arcane Denial Counterspell.
Yep.
So I'll grab one or two of those, I think. I think I have one in one deck in my Edric deck, and I'll probably look to grab one just to have. It's a good Counterspell. Ancient Craving. This is the first foil of Ancient Craving. Ambitions Cost had them, but Ancient Craving didn't. So I'll grab one of those. Regrowth.
Yeah, that's Max and I were discussing that earlier. I'm like, I bet you Dana's psyched for Regrowth.
I am. There's a Judge Foil.
It's so pretty.
It's a good looking card. The Judge Foil was like 30 or 40, so it's not ridiculous like some Judge Foils, but that's still a lot of money. Whereas this one will probably be, you know, sub 5, I bet 5 to 10.
Yeah.
Probably not more than that.
It's the dual deck art, so.
Yeah. So I will probably pick up a Regrowth and Foil just to have. And that Coalition Relic. I just haven't been putting them in decks because it's been $15.
Yep.
But I think, I mean, there's probably a lot of Atraxa players that want that for sure.
And just a lot of the four-color players in general.
Just a lot of players in general are going to want that card. And the new art looks great. It's going to look fantastic in foil. So that is something I'm also going to probably look to do. So beyond just us, what cards here are you thinking are going to start showing up just in general in other people's decks? Because that happens every time one of these sets gets reprinted, suddenly people, whether it's like Imperial Recruiter where people didn't know it existed, but like there's cards that people knew existed but they just couldn't afford to buy them. So what do you think is going to start showing up out of this set in decks?
Card I haven't seen many people play, I just scrolled past it right now, Plaguewind. I could see that with this being more readily available now.
It's a second in Ingeruk's Wake, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it looks really good on paper, especially if you're like a newer player.
It does look good on paper.
If you're a new player and want something splashy, that looks really good.
Elvish Piper, I think we'll start seeing more of those show up.
Elvish Piper is just a solid card, and it's also not been around.
Right.
When last printing was 9th edition or 10th edition?
Somewhere around in there.
2010.
So
Magic 2010.
8 years ago.
Yep.
So that could definitely be a card that people just didn't even know existed. Casual players probably weren't aware it was a thing.
Another one I could see people, especially the Blue Mages now, with Pact of Negation getting a reprint.
Pact is on my list for sure. Because that's at 30 to 40 right now.
Yep.
And that's going to, so that'll, at rare, that'll probably drop to 25, 20 to 25.
It is 25 right now.
The pre-order.
Modern Masters and Future Sight versions are both 25. So Masters so 25, pre-order is 15.
That might even, and that's pre-order, so that could drop
yep.
another couple bucks from there. That will absolutely start showing up in decks.
Oh, yeah.
I have the, you know, filters here as well. People will be running those besides just us for sure. Pact, Relentless Rats, just is as a deck, you're going to see people building Relentless Rats. That's been a difficult deck to build prior to this.
Yeah.
The last reprinting was M11, I think?
Yes.
So you had to, you had to buy online. You had to basically go buy rats online. You couldn't pick them up locally and find enough to build a 30 rat deck. Well, now you can. Like, you're going to buy enough rats at your at common.
They're going to be 50 cents to a dollar.
Right. The average draft is going to kick up two or three of them, if not more. So over the course of the first weekend this gets released, your store will probably see enough rats to build a deck.
Yep, and that's for just a tip for people. If you are drafting, since you know it is such a common card that's going to be coming out, just talk to the people who draft and say, hey, you got any of these? Are you willing to get rid of them?
Yeah, most a lot people probably will.
A lot of people are just going to chuck their draft decks. They're going to keep what they wanted and chuck the rest of it.
Yep. So, yeah, I think we'll see. I bet we'll see a lot of stores will start seeing relentless rats decks that they maybe didn't see before.
I think we'll see more Merfolk decks with Curse Catcher in it.
Curse Catcher's one that was double
like
digits, wasn't it?
$16 card, jeez. $15 card before it got reprinted.
So now suddenly that becomes something that you can pretty easily jam in your commander deck or whatever without having to think twice about it, because that'll drop hard. Because what's it at? Is that an uncommon?
It is uncommon in 25.
So those are the big ones for me. Obviously, I mean, there's a lot of good cards in here, but there was nothing that really jumped out as being something people hadn't seen in a while.
And nothing really jumped out as a highly played commander card neither, per se.
Right. I think Bolas is one we'll also see, because the dual deck Bolas was like $100, and I believe
the Legends one spiked hard.
The Legend one was like 50 or something. So you could get the Chronicles one, but it has like the weird book reading art, which is isn't really cool. This lets you get a good looking Bolas for your Bolas deck
for $2
for
at pre order.
Yeah,
yeah. The From the Vault one is close to $100.
Jeez. So what's a, does it have a pre-order price for a foil of the new one?
No.
But that'll probably not be, you know, if that's $20, that's still way less than what you're paying for the From the Vault version.
Yep.
Well, here's another card we discussed, what was it, 3 episodes ago, I think? Protean Hulk.
Yeah.
With it getting a reprinting, we might end up seeing that more now.
Well, and Hulk even then was a, even after unbanning, dropped back down to like, what, $5 or $6?
Yeah.
Now it'll be a $2 card maybe. And the thing was, even though it dropped down to that, you just didn't have, people didn't have Hulks because it was from original Ravnica set, which was, at this point, 12 years ago?
Probably, that
roughly.
Sounds about right.
At least.
You're just not finding those lying around in binders, particularly since so many of the players have been playing after that. Well, now you will. Now there's just going to be Protean Hulks out there, and there's going to be Flash out there, because Flash got reprinted.
Yep.
Because Flash also hadn't been reprinted in a long time. I think that was 6th edition and Mirage, I believe. So that was closing in on 20 years since we've seen that.
And this is a shout out to all the people who play with us who listen. If any of you build Rurikthar, I'm going to be very mad.
We've had to deal with that once already.
We did. We had a Rurikthar deck for a little while. And you just killed a Rurikthar player.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, go for it. I mean, if you want the table to turn on you in a heartbeat, I hope you can have survivability to take them up before they all kill you.
So what are the big misses here? What cards? I mentioned Land Tax and Demonic Tutor, but what cards did you guys think were going to be here or should have been here that weren't?
Doubling Season.
Oh, God. Jeez,
that's
a
way up there, yeah.
Man.
I would have rather seen that than the Master of the Wild Hunt in the Mythic slot.
Or anything.
I would have been fine with it being a Mythic.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it needs a reprint because that's $60.
If not more.
If not more. It's going to go up now.
Yep.
By not getting reprinted, and there's no viable reprint slot for it probably until the next Master set next year. It's not going to be in the core set.
It's not going to be in Battle Bond or the two-headed giant draft thing.
So we won't see it now for probably at least another year, in which case it'll go up $20 between now and then.
I think the one that they really missed hard on, and this is speaking from a modern player standpoint, is Celestial Colonnade.
Oh, God. I actually just saw something today that was bought out nearly everywhere today. So that's already going to be going up.
Yes, I have the promo.
I mean, it's such an expensive card, and honestly, I play Modern a lot, and there's only like one deck archetype that plays it, so I don't know why it's such an expensive card.
It's really good in that deck, though.
Yeah, until it gets pushed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's almost 70 as well, I think, right?
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I mean, they didn't have to put, you know, Quicksand in here. We could have had Celestial Colonnade.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be like a value cap on the set, so they can't put all these things in here, but they certainly could have swapped a couple things around.
Right. Another one is I was shocked not to see a second Planeswalker in the set.
I kind of
was
too.
Most Master sets have two.
I didn't think we would get two big ones. Like, once we got Jace, that kind of rules out Karn. but I thought we would get that second small $10 to $15 one like we've had Tezzeret in the past or Sarkhan in the past.
Or Elspeth since Champion.
Right. So I thought we'd get something like that in that $10-ish dollar slot that you don't feel too bad about opening because you're like, yeah, it goes in the Planeswalker binder or whatever.
So we can just go conspiracy theory here if you guys want to.
What's just the Jace modern.
So Jace gets unbanned, and all of a sudden he's in the Masters 25 set. So now let's go back a couple sets, and let's go to the Unhinged. Is that the latest one?
Yes.
Let's unban that in Commander for a couple weeks as soon as the set releases. Conspiracy theory.
I don't. I think they clearly knew about the Jace unbanning. I don't think that's really a conspiracy. They knew they were going to unban Jace for the set, I think.
Right.
That doesn't even seem. I think everyone kind of accepts that. Was Bloodbraid in the set? It was not.
No.
That kind of surprised me. I thought for sure that wasn't a pop up here. And
that
it
was
not.
In Eternal Masters.
But it was in Eternal
Masters.
Printing, yeah.
Last printing.
I thought they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on the commons and uncommons, particularly by printing old cards. Like the one that I thought was super cool was Stang out of Legends, and he got a token too for him. He's not a good card at all.
I'm going to make him a good card somehow, some way.
Well, he could be a fun legend to build around for your commander.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he's weird. Nothing else really does that in those colors. It's an old card that we have not seen printed since Chronicles. So that got reprinted. So people will get a foil of that. You can get a new modern border of it. You get the cool token. There was a bunch of chances in here to do things like that. And instead we got like some random Kaladesh uncommon. Like, man, why are you, if this is supposed to be a nostalgia set, why are you not digging out old cards for this instead of printing stuff from Amonkhet? I don't get that.
Air quotations right now. Draft friendly.
I know, but like there's some of that stuff where like here's this random, you know, 2/2 drop that has to be there as chump fodder to draft. Why not choose really old ones for that slot instead of choosing something from Theros?
Right. Or Dusk Legion Zealot that was just printed in Ixalan.
Right. Yep. Or the Chupacabra was in Rivals.
The Chupacabra is just a good card.
At least it's a good card. But, right, like the Dusk Legion Zealot or something. Things like that. It would have been very easy to go back and grab some random, you know, Sarah's Paladin. That's not a card. But, like, something like that from the Dark or something that no one's seen in forever that's roughly the same card. It's not going to change anyone's draft, and at least you printed out something no one's seen before.
Yep.
So I thought that was kind of a blown opportunity here to do some of that.
Unless they're testing the waters with this.
I mean, maybe. And maybe people will...
Because didn't they say they're switching to just this is going to be their master set from now on?
Yes. They're not going to be doing like a modern master. It's going to be...
Thematic.
Yes. So.
So maybe they're just testing the waters, seeing how everything goes, and if it goes well, then they'll start digging hard into it.
Yeah.
But knowing Wizards, they won't.
Who knows?
No.
But yeah, I think the Stang thing was on the right path, and I wanted to see more of that.
Well, here's a card that we'll bring up. Okay, we just talked about draft-friendly. Ancient Stirrings looks for a colorless card, and it is printed in the set, and your colorless cards in the set are few and far between.
That's absolutely a reprinting because it's expensive. It was getting up there in Modern. It was like a $5 card, I think?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was a concession to Modern entirely. So right, that's the thing. They claim that about draft all the time, but... It's not entirely true. Daybreak Coronet was in Modern Masters 15 or 17. I think it was 15.
15.
And there was like two auras in the entire set, one of which was not white.
Yep.
So there was one aura you could have on a creature before you applied Coronet. It was unplayable essentially in that draft. So no, they say that, but they're perfectly willing to print cards that aren't good in draft.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's move on. Let's talk about master sets in general.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
So first
or
of
all of them in a bubble.
Let's just kind of talk about them all in a bubble, not like specifically a set, but like what they do to the game. I was thinking about this, and I think reprints accomplish or change three things in Commander. They lower the prices, so people can buy cards they couldn't afford. They increase availability, so like maybe you don't buy a Wasteland online at TCG Player, but when you come into your shop, you didn't see it before because it was only printed once or twice. In a set, you know, 15 years ago. Well, now you walk into your shop and you're like, well, it's sitting there in the case. I wouldn't have bought it on TCG Player for 25, but it's right here. So like, I think people buy stuff. That makes people buy things.
Yep.
And availability changes it.
I'd rather support my local store than buy online 80, 90% of the time, just depending on what the circumstances are.
And I think it makes people aware of cards, talking about Imperial Recruiter. And a lot of people, maybe not people who like do podcasts because maybe we're a little bit more engaged than the average player. But like a lot of players, I would guarantee you during the spoiler season were like, Imperial Recruiter, what's that? They had no idea it existed. So it pushes cards out there that maybe people didn't know were actually cards.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things occur and they change the scape of the game in terms of what cards get played. So what cards in the last few years have you guys seen that have become part of the game that weren't prior to that just because of reprint, availability, price, etc.?
I have one that popped immediately into my mind thinking about this, Sylvan Library.
Yes, for sure. Because prior to the showing up in reprints, it was Legends and Chronicles,
and
maybe fourth edition, something like that.
Yeah, there's very few, and you hardly ever saw it.
It was old. The text on it was really confusing because it was written with like an old format text, so trying to figure out what it did was a little bit difficult. And now I see a ton of Sylvan Libraries.
Yep, because it was what, reprinted in Iconic?
It's been in at least...
Eternal Masters.
Oh, Eternal, yep.
And I think one other, was it in one other set or no?
Mm-mm.
Just turn.
Yep.
But still, that was enough to get copies out there in people's hands. Any other ones that jump out at you guys?
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
How about yourself? I mean, how many of your, is it changed cards that you play? Like, I think of Force of Will.
I'm thinking of Necropotence.
Necro for sure.
Yeah, Necro, we see that a lot now.
Because that was also a card that was it Ice Age originally? And then I think 4th edition or 5th edition, and that was it. So there was no copies of that. There was like a Finkel versus Garfield, I think, deck as well.
Yeah. The Fetchlands from last year's Modern Masters.
Yeah. I actually didn't have, I think I had Verdant Catacombs, and that was the only enemy fetch I had until the Modern Masters reprints. Force of Will. That Force of Will is a card that I see played that I did not see prior to that. Same thing with Mana Drain.
You know, I have yet to see a Mana Drain be played. I know that you have one in a deck, but I have yet to see one be played.
I believe our friend Justin has one because I've had at least one played against me.
And to go back to the availability, our shop has quite a few of them in a binder.
Yes.
So it's not like people don't... I think it's still too expensive for people to want to play.
Mana Drain is one of the ones that probably needs one more printing. Same with Force of Will.
Yeah.
They need one more printing to be available. It seems like, at least where we play... 30 to 40 is the amount of money people will pay for a card, and they're okay with it, but 70 becomes out of the price range for some reason. And those are still at that $70 range.
The commands, Cryptic, Austere.
Yes, Austere Command for sure.
For sure. Right, we're talking big. We've been talking like big ticket stuff, but Austere Command going from 12 to 13 down to 3 or 4 has really made that more available for people. Maze of Ith. Maze of Ith was a $25-ish card for a while, and you can get the, was it an Eternal Masters or?
Yep, Eternal.
It's 12
yep.
or so now. I've seen a lot more Mazes of Iths. Divining Top.
Yes.
Yes.
Which maybe isn't great.
If you have the right deck.
The downfall I see to Divining Top and Commander is a lot of people play it and they play slow with it. It's like if I play top, you know, when it's the person, there's still a person next, and then it'll be my turn. So on that second person's turn or whatever, I'll use it then.
Yes.
So I'm ready to go rip roaring and don't have
it's
to
kinda like
waste
doing
time.
That Vamp Tutor. Like, I'm going to Vamp Tutor if it's going to change anything. We'll just assume I do it at the end of your turn, but like I'm not going to waste everyone's time. I'm going to do it ahead of time.
Yep.
It's like a commander etiquette thing you can kind of do to speed up the game there.
Yep.
And top people need to do that.
Another one set of cards we see a lot more now are the Praetors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Elishnorn and Vorin Quest.
Right. People just casually will put Elishnorn in the deck now, and you couldn't do that when she was a $30 card. Whereas now you're just like, I'm playing white. People jam Elishnorn in the deck.
Jingataxis. Yes, I'm talking to you. You know who you are.
You know what you did. The other one I thought of that was actually in this set, but it's been reprinted a few times lately, is Vindicate. Vindicate was a $20 card. I remember building a black and white deck. Four years ago when we first started playing and looking at cards to put in it, I'm like, oh man, I can't run that. That's $20. Vindicate's 3 or 4 now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's really changed. And I see
Eternal Masters print.
Yeah. So I remember not seeing Vindicates or the first time I saw one being like, oh wow, he's splurged in this deck. Right. And now you just don't think anything of it. I, if you're playing a black and white deck, I assume you have a Vindicate in that deck.
Mm-hmm.
The Tutors and Lightened Tutor, I remember, was the same way. And Lightened Tutor you didn't see a lot of. And same thing, if you're playing a white deck with any kind of artifacts or enchantments, I assume you have an Lightened Tutor.
Surprisingly, though, we don't see a lot of them in our meta. I mean, I know we all three of us have them, but I can't really think of many other people.
I've seen them cast. Like, we have a Hannah Ships Navigator deck that I know has one.
I think I've seen more Mystical Tutors than Enlightened Tutors, though.
But same thing. Mystical Tutor also hadn't been reprinted since 6th edition, I think.
Right.
And popping up in Master Sets put that out there for people. So, yeah, it absolutely does change the environment you play in just by getting cards out there. So the next question then is, based on the amount of these reprint sets we've had, is this too many? Is it too few? Is it just right? What are your thoughts on how many of these we've had?
In the past year, way too many.
We've had, in the last 12 months, we've had 3 full reprint sets.
Yep.
Particularly because we've had, you know, one this time last year plus Iconic.
And now this one.
So now this one. So we've had 3 full reprint sets in 1 calendar year, and that's discounting. There was one from the vault in there, and a reprint set that the Ixalan one in November.
Oh, the board game.
The board game one that had a bunch of reprints in it. The Commander products always have a bunch of reprints in them. And now if you look at this calendar year, we've got this set, 25. We'll have a core set, which will have reprints.
Yep.
We're going to have Battleborn, which will be a chunk of reprints. We'll have that Jace's Spellbook, which is 10 cards, but it's still 10 reprints right there. We'll have a Commander Anthology. We'll have a new Commander set, which is going to have reprints, because that's always at least 25% reprints or so. So that's a lot in one calendar year again this year.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're moving to one Master set a year, I think, helps, because you aren't hedging your bet. Like, okay, I could get M25 and hope I hit all the cards I need. Or wait, Eternal Masteries 2 is coming out in 3 months. Maybe I should just wait for that.
Sure.
You know, it really makes it easier to say, cool, I only have to worry about one Master set a year to save up that $200 a box or whatever the MSRP is going to be on that.
I think one is definitely reasonable. I think the core sets, and maybe, you know, one of the things I complained about earlier was like the lack of commons and uncommons that I wanted. Maybe the core set will fix that, because the core set's probably a good place to put a lot of those reprints. Maybe they don't want to have it a Master set. Who knows?
But there in a core set, though, they got to be even more careful.
Right, because it affects Standard.
Yep.
And it's also tends to be, it has to be world-based, too, I think. I assume they're going to continue to like want the core set to be specifically a theme.
Like Origins.
Right.
That
I think
would
this
be nice.
I think this one is Dominaria. And one of the hints I've seen someone write was that they think it's not going to be confined to one time period in Dominaria. It's going to have stuff from Dominaria's past as well.
That'd be awesome.
And it might be Bolas-based as well. So it's going to be around Bolas and all the things he's done on Dominaria over the years. There's no proof of that, but that's one theory I've seen that someone had clues for.
That'd be really cool to find out how he got all his power, figure out how to create Amonkhet.
Because one of the pieces of artwork that was released of Tezzeret, because he has those bolus horn marks on his forehead.
Yep.
The color on those is red currently, but it didn't used to be red. It used to be blue.
Hmm.
And the Tezzeret artwork that was leaked shows the blue horn from the past that he had for his marks, which could be nothing. I mean, maybe that's a mistake, but I don't think so. Usually the things they show in the artwork like that have a meaning. So the theory is that that's an old Tezzeret from the past. So maybe the set is going to have Bolas's schemes through the years on Dominaria.
That'd be cool.
Cool. I'm all in on that.
Just bring me back my slivers.
Man, I hope so. I'm really. Yeah. People must agree because Sliver Queen spiked this week. Did you see that? It got bought out.
Oh, I didn't.
It's up.
I have one, and I don't want to get rid of her.
Look.
So
it's up to, I want to say, $75 or $80.
Oh.
But it's on the reserved list, so you're not going to see any more of them.
And it is. For everyone who doesn't know, it is the first 5-color card ever printed.
It was?
Yep.
Really? Interesting.
It's 50, so it's dropped a little.
So it's dropped a little bit, okay. But still, that's still a
pretty good
chunk of
change. She was only at like 35,
right.
So.
And, you know, that's not every person. Every time there's a new expansion that comes out with slivers in it, there's new people building sliver decks that want the Sliver Queen. That's demand for that is only going to scale over the years. And it's a cool card. And it's not fun to play against if you're playing. It's Chris's Sliver deck. So is there anything else you guys want to say about these reprint sets or this one in specific?
I have something to say about M25 specifically.
Sure.
I think if this set was like not $10 a pack, it'd be way better. Like if this was even at like a premium, like $7.99 a pack. I'm not talking standard prices at $3.99, but in between $4 and $10, the set looks way better when you're only paying $7 a pack versus 10 to open a Rurik the R, that's, you know, 20 cents.
Yep.
Well, I was kind of thinking along those lines that maybe we'd like to see a master set at normal standard pack prices that intentionally just didn't have a lot of great, like, dollar value reprints in it, but it just had a bunch of old cards that people wanted to see new versions of with new artwork.
New borders.
Like the Stang kind of thing.
Yep.
A ton of those reprints that were kind of old, janky things. I would be all over that. Yeah, you'd put some value in it because you always do, but, like, you would have to worry about it then when it's a standard price set and you're paying $3 a pack. It's not nearly as big of a deal as when you're paying $10 a pack.
Right.
So I think that would be interesting, too, to do, like, a lower-priced master set that's just that's not going to be having a Jace in it. It's going to have maybe a $20, a couple $20 mythics, and that's it.
I would be perfectly fine with that.
And it gives them so much more room to print those cards that just specifically, like, commander players like us want a foil of, or casual players at home might want to pick up a, you know, new border version of, whatever.
Right.
So that was my, like, kind of final thought on this. I think the reprints are good for the game. I think we need them. And I think for the most part, they've done a good job regulating how many they put out there.
I would agree with that. I think putting the cards like Force of Will, our Imperial Recruiter, our Jace at Mythic keeps the market stabilized, I think, versus putting them at Rare, where people, if they're at Rare, I would buy a box and
sure,
crack them until I find one or two.
The Mythic cards in these master sets really don't drop much in price. I mean, they may lose
the good ones.
They might drop 10 or 15%, but then they almost always bounce back. I mean, this Jace will be fine. This Jace will still be a $100 card, or, you know, maybe it'll be 80, but I bet in 2 years it'll be a $100 card again. These always creep back up. So for collectors, they, you know, their value maintains for the most part. So yeah, I think it's good for the game. I'm happy with it. I think this one was a little weaker than most of the other sets. I think it was a little conservative, maybe is the right word.
I would get behind that 100%.
But we're getting some good stuff too, so maybe Chris gets his Imperial Recruiter.
Woo! I hope so.
All right, I think that's all we got this week at Commander Central. Until next week, I'm Dana.
I'm Max.
And I'm Chris.